guys, we've been doing this hero series. This is the fourth week of it. We've done this God to the rescue, the God who saves us, the God who delivers us, the God who heals us. We've done these three parts, and now we're getting into the God who leads. God who leads us. There's a really there can be a tendency in us to gravitate to the flashy, the big wow, like when Jesus was coming into a town and boom, he heals all the sick people in a town. And early in his ministry, he would do that. He would go into places and it was like healings, 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 and people being delivered and set free from all kinds of stuff. And it was this wow. And then a little later in his ministry, he started tapering off and he was teaching, but he wasn't quite all the razzoo stuff people were used to. And he started saying these really hard sayings like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And people are going, whoa, this is getting weird. And they didn't understand what he was really saying. But he was teaching and he was saying all these very important things. There's something about heroes that lead. And when God says, I'm not just going to wow you with amazing signs and wonders, which is great. I mean, God's never stopped doing that. But he's a hero who leads. It might not sound as flashy, but it's powerful when God leads us. I wrote down a couple of verses. They're going to pop up on the screen. Proverbs 29:18 says, without vision, people perish. Or without vision, without revelation, without a revealing from God, people cast off restraint. They wander and they die. We need leadership. When people are wandering and people are not sure of what to do, what do we need? We need a leader. We need someone to come in and say, this is the way, walk in it. And God does this, which is great. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ, or be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So when we're looking for someone to emulate, someone to follow, really, we're looking for Jesus. And there's other men will come along. There's another great quote here. This is General George S. Patton, and he was an amazing leader in World War II. He says this, we herd sheep, we drive cattle, and we lead people. Lead me, follow me, or get out of my way. Usually when Patton would say these things, he said them really with a lot of profanity. He was thought of by a lot of officers as just being vile and crude, and they didn't think a lot of him. But his men respected this man because he would step into a really tough situation and say, hey, guys, this might look hard. This might look difficult. You might not think you can do it. You might be worried that in the crunch time, in the foxholes, and out on the line, that you're not going to have what it takes to do this. I'm here today to tell you, yes, you do. We're going to go do this. We're not going to hang in foxholes. We're moving forward. Every one of those sentences, I read a speech from him last night. Every one of those sentences was included at least one profane word. It wasn't just we're moving forward. We are doing it in all kinds of graphic ways. So George Patton, he knew how to lead men, though, and men responded to him. Now, could George S. Patton fly? No. I don't know that he ever healed anyone. I don't think so. He didn't have any crazy superhero powers. But his men looked at him and they said, that's a hero. That's a man I'm going to follow. I'm willing to go to my death following this guy. And a lot of men did. But what he would say to them is, hey, guys, we're going to go do this. We're going to get it done. I'm personally going to take out the enemy when we get to Berlin. I'm sorry, I'm editing in my brain as I'm talking because it was so vile the way he said it. But well, Jesus would say this. He would simply say to people, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Now, when you are an illiterate fisherman in first century AD, they didn't call it AD yet, but you would have been a guy who didn't make it in the kind of in the religious, spiritual world of the day, you weren't good enough to have been invited by a rabbi to be one of your, or one of his disciples, one of his followers, and who would come and take his yoke upon you and learn his ways, learn his teachings. The young men who they seem to be really good at this would have already been grabbed up by different rabbis. And if you had made it by the time you were a young man and you've gone into the family trade, it meant you'd been sort of bypassed by religious land. And when Jesus comes to these guys and he says, come follow me, it's really interesting how the response of them is they left everything and followed him. They went for it. There was something about Jesus that compelled them to drop what they were doing, drop their agenda. And some of these guys, like Peter, James, John, Andrew, these guys were commercial fishermen. They had multiple boats. They had other servants who were doing this. These guys were fairly successful fishermen. They just weren't what you would think of as the religious guys of the day. The guys who were going to be spiritual leaders, no, they were the guys who were going to go to work and show up and someone else will do the spiritual work. And Jesus comes to these guys and he says, come, follow me. That's a big thing for a guy like that. He says in Mark 1:17, he says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I almost changed my whole message last night just to preach that statement. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What does Jesus want to do with us? He wants to make us into men and women who captivate and capture the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And he wants to take us and form us into people that other people gravitate to. He wants to do that in you. He wants to make you a fisher of men. It's God who's going to do it. And he says, I will make you. What's he going to do? He's going to transform you on the inside. It's not something you have to do, but God's promise, you come follow me, and I'm going to do a work in your heart. I'm going to make you into a fisher of men. I wanted to just preach all of that today. But then Jesus goes to another guy named Matthew, or Levi, we usually would say, but his friends would have called him Levi. And in Matthew 5:27, he goes to this guy, he's a tax collector, and he says, come follow me. He doesn't even say, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He just says, come follow me. And the Bible says that Matthew, Levi, dropped everything. He left everything, which is probably a little bit risky when you're working for the Romans and you're the one getting all the money and you just leave it and go. I don't know what that looked like. Maybe there were other guys. Maybe it was like working at a CPA firm or something. But he says, come follow me. He leaves everything. And this guy who is like Mr. Predictable. Think about the tax guy, the IRS guy. Number crunching. This is what I do. I clock in. I work my numbers. I do what I'm supposed to do. I clock out. And when God says, come follow me, he leaves the predictable and walks into this life of faith with Jesus. So we're going to look at this one passage today. It's just a few verses. It's in Luke chapter 9. We're going to read 57 through 62. And we're going to hone in on when Jesus calls, the things he's calling us to leave and the things he's calling us into. Luke 9:57 says this in the English Standard Version. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Sounds to me like Peter, when Peter's like, I will never deny you. I'm going to be with you to the end. You know, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replies to him in kind of a surprising way. He has really three really shocking statements here. First thing he says to the guy who says, I want to follow you, is foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Interesting. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. Oh, well, by the way, I don't have anywhere to sleep. Come be homeless with me. You know, I mean, that's not really what he's saying. Jesus is teaching with every one of these statements. And I want to give credit where credit is due. I was at a conference this last week in Missoula, Montana, and this prophetic guy named Clem Ferris was speaking. He's from North Carolina. Clem honed in on this passage, and I thought, this is so perfect for where we are with Jesus leading us, him being a hero who leads. So I'm stealing from Clem some of this today. The only one of you who would know that in the room was my wife. Becca would know, like, hey, I've heard this somewhere. But don't worry, I changed it too. We're not just borrowing from Clem. So he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Okay, so what's a hole for a fox? His home. And what's a nest for a bird? His home. What Jesus is talking about is location. And he's saying, okay, a fox is going to go to this place. This is home. This is where he is. A bird is going to go to this place. This is home. But if you're going to follow me, it's not about a location. If you're going to follow me, we're not just going to go, oh, well, this is where we're going to plant. This is where we're going to, you know, I'm following Jesus, so this is where we go. You know, oh, Jesus likes to hang out in Capernaum, or Jesus likes to hang out in Bethany. No, Jesus is looking for a place to lay his head. And that place is you. That place is me. When you say, Jesus, I want to follow you, Jesus, his response to you is, I want to be your Lord. I want lordship in your life. So that the first call of a hero leader is, I want the right to lead you. It's a call, follow my lordship. Jesus wants to make us his home. It's like Uncle Sam. I've been thinking about World War II, and I don't know why. I think it was because thinking about strong leaders, General Patton came to my mind. And when there's tough things that happen, we need those leaders. I'm thinking like Uncle Sam in World War II, you know, I want you. And that hung around. I mean, that I saw that on walls when I was in high school, pictures of Uncle Sam pointing at me. I want you for the U.S. Army. You know, I'm thinking about on Monday we had the Boston Marathon, and you know, these bombs go off, and all of a sudden you've got chaos, you've got just awfulness breaking loose at the marathon, and people step into that place and begin to lead other people. Come here, do this, put this tourniquet on this person here, and boom, boom, there's a call. And people need to step up and follow this call. I'm going to follow this person who's leading. He's providing leadership to me. And Jesus says, I want to be that for you. You want to follow me? I want to lead you. And wherever I go, there's not just a place where I'm going to lay my head. Follow me. He's looking for disciples who will let him have headship in their lives. And that would be us, in our lives. It's interesting to me how his headship, actually, Jesus' headship, it's fleshed out in this world through his church. And he's given us that, now, Christ is the head of the church. But he says he's given us these gifts to the church that are designed to equip and lead the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And Jesus, he wants headship in our lives. It's like, I'm looking for a place to lay my government. I'm looking for a place to lay my leadership in your life. He's looking for disciples who are committed to him and committed to his people. So his first call is to follow his lordship. And he has a second call here. We go on into the next verses. So to another, Jesus says, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, shocking, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Can you imagine? You're like, Jesus is calling you out. He's calling you to come follow him. And your dad has just died. Jesus, can I finish the funeral for my father before I leave town? And Jesus says to you, leave the dead to bury their own dead. This doesn't sound like gentle Jesus, meek and mild. What is this? What is Jesus doing? Well, there's an interesting thing. When you read that, when I read that, I can tend to assume that his father is dead. Only the Bible never says that. Jesus, I want to follow you. But I'm a Jew. And if I don't embrace Judaism and I start to follow you, people are saying you're the Messiah. People are saying you're not the Messiah. People are saying you're a fraud. If I follow you, I could lose everything. What's my family going to think? What's my father going to think? He could disown me. He could. And Jesus cuts right to the heart of what this guy's, what he's really processing in his heart. And he says, leave the dead to bury their own dead and come follow me. And he says to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And there's two things that don't go together very well. Lord and but. Lord, but first. Lord, but this is what I need to do. When we say, God, we're going to follow you as our Lord, he's first. And his call to us is follow him first. He's calling this guy saying, follow me first. I'm not going to be second. I'm not going to be down the priority list. Lord and but first don't go together. I also wrote Lord and me first. They don't really work. It's Jesus first. Jesus wants to take lead in our priorities. The priorities in our life. Where are we committing? Where are we committing finances? Where are we committing time? Where are we committing our energy, our creative energies? Where are we investing? Jesus says this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other things that he knows you have need of, whether that's putting food on the table, clothes on your back, shelter over your head. Take your pick. What is it that you have need of, emotional need of? All these things, he says, they're going to be added unto you. I'm going to take care of you, but follow me first. So a lot of times we can want to follow Jesus after our resources and after all of our plans work out. So Jesus dares us to do this. He dares us to trust him and follow in faith. This will come up on the screen here. Before it all makes sense. I remember one time our church, this is when Beck and I were college students. And let me just say, when we were college students, we were broke. We were very, very poor college students with college loans and In fact, we lived on some of our college loans to get through school. I don't recommend that to anybody because it took us a lot of years to pay that back. We did pay that back, but we had to take like half of the proceeds of the sale of our first house to do that. I don't recommend following our financial plan through college. Don't do that. But we were very poor. We had taken out, I want to say it was a couple thousand dollars in loans just to help supplement our living, like buy food, pay rent, things that have to be done. We were so busy as music students. It was like you go to school all day and then you have performances in the evening. When are we supposed to work? We just couldn't figure it out. So we did some silly things money-wise. And we were at church. We were at a meeting. And our church had badly outgrown the facility we were in. Like, we needed somewhere else to go. And we were going to do this big offering toward buying a new facility. Well, here we're broke college students. And we're sitting in this meeting, and I start feeling prompted by God. Now, remember, we've taken about $2,000 out in loans just to survive the semester. And I felt God say, would you give me $700 of that toward this facility, toward this big offering? And I'm thinking, okay, that's more than a third of what we're supposed to live on. But I got excited about it. Like, I started feeling like, wow, this is like faith land. Like, if we give this away, we cannot pay our bills through the semester. If we do this, we put ourselves out of the realm of, I can take care of this, to, God, you got to do something. And talked to Beck about it. And she was kind of like, really? You know, you're crazy. And I was like, I think we should do it. I think we should do it. I was really excited. I wanted to give. Don't ever go into debt to give. Guys, that is silly. But we were just stirred and prompted. And we did it. And amazingly, God took care of us. And all of our bills got paid. And we came through the end of that semester. And I was kind of scratching my head going, how did that happen? Well, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that God knows you have need of will be added to you. He will take care of you. He's promised to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. It doesn't mean he's going to meet all your wants and all your desires. And God, I want to have 5 Mercedes Benzes. And I would love driving by the Porsche place out there. There's this one really cool looking rig out. Man, I just would love to have that. He's not promising you that. But he does promise you your needs will be met when you seek him. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That applies to everything. So before it all makes sense, before your finances make sense, you go, okay, God, I'm going to follow you. Before you have everyone else's approval, it's not always popular to follow Jesus and to, you know, obviously, so this morning is a great example. I don't know how many thousands of people were out there running this race for the cure this morning. But there were thousands of people out there running. It was the popular thing to do today. We're a few people in a room. This may not be the most popular thing going on in Spokane right now. That's okay. This isn't a popularity contest. But before it's the thing to do, before it's like, wow, everyone's doing this, I'm going, we go, Jesus, we're going to follow you. If you've called, we hear it, we're responding. We're following you first. And before, what did I wrote down? Before we have our financial inheritance in place, meaning I'm set in life. Everything's figured out. You know, maybe God, maybe in 10 or 15 or 20 years, I can think about following you where you'd like me to go. Well, why not just go, God, what do you want now? What do you want? He's going to take care of you. He's promised it. He will do it. And his third call, he's got one more call here. After telling this guy to leave the dead to bury their own dead, go proclaim the kingdom of God. 61, verse 61. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. And here it comes again. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. Lord, me first. Lord, me first. Same problem as this other guy. But a whole different scenario. Let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These just sound like the harshest statements. Like, man, I'm a grace guy. I love the grace of God. I love, like, when we fall short, he doesn't. Oh, that's so good to know. When we think, you know, that like Peter, I will never abandon you, God. I'm going with you. And then we do. And we fall short. Oh. And he comes and he says, come on. And he doesn't quit. He doesn't quit on us. He keeps going. I love that. And yet Jesus also says things like this. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Slap, slap. Oh my goodness. Here's what Jesus is saying to this guy. The past is the past. Old patterns of dysfunction have to go. His call is follow me forward. Follow me forward. Any general in an army is going to call his men to follow him forward. A wise military leader leads from the front. Actually, any kind of leader who's wise leads from the front. You don't lead from the back and push. You lead from the front and say, follow me. Follow me forward. In fact, George Patton actually is one of the guys who said, never ask your men to do something you won't do yourself. Follow me forward. Let's go. The past is the past. Old patterns of dysfunction have to go. When he says, let me say farewell to those at my home, Jesus is saying, hey, your home is with me. Foxes of the air, which we've never heard of. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. But where's my home? My home is in you. And when he says, let me go back home, Jesus is saying, no, home is here. Home is with me. Home is where we're going together. We can want to go back to the old dysfunction, the old ways of thinking. Let me go back to the old. Let me go back to my party friends and say goodbye. One more time back to the old ways. One more time back to the old things, the old patterns. Well, guys, one more trip to the old home is never helpful. When Jesus says, come follow me, it's come follow me now. It's let's go. Let's go. Paul said this in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about how in your past you weren't good enough. Don't worry about how back there, this is how we did things. Jesus is saying, come forward. Follow me forward. Hebrews 10:39, but I love this one. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We're not shrinking back. The writer of Hebrews here, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews for sure. Some people actually have claimed that it was Priscilla, of Priscilla and Aquila, who may have written Hebrews. And others say, no, that's bunk, it was Paul. And others say, no, that was Apollos who wrote Hebrews. No one really knows for sure. But somebody wrote Hebrews. And they're writing to this church in the early first century who's a bunch of Jews who had converted to Christianity. We're going to follow Jesus and the pressure on them to go back to the old ways as they're being disinherited, as they're being shunned by their people. The pressure to go back. Why don't we just compromise and go back? That's exactly what the book of Hebrews is written about. It says, no, we are not those who shrink back and go back to the old ways. We're those who have faith. We move forward in faith. So Jesus is calling us as disciples to follow his lordship. He's calling us to follow him first, and he's calling us to follow him forward. So why are we saying all this today about a Jesus who leads, a hero who leads and actually expects to speak into our lives and have us respond and follow? Guys, he wants to remind us today, he's an excellent leader. He's an excellent leader. He doesn't just leave you to kind of wander around and figure it out on your own. I wonder what we should do. No, he's a great leader, and he tells you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come. I want you to come and follow me. He's good. He's a bold leader. I wrote this down. He wants to inspire us and re-inspire us all today with the grand mission of God. The grand mission of God, which is what? Several things. To seek and save the lost, to destroy the destroyer, and to destroy the works of the enemy, and to usher in this kingdom, this great eternal kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. This is what God's come to do. This is where he's leading us. This is his mission. I'm going to seek and save the lost. I'm inviting you to come and follow me, and let's do this together. I'm going to destroy the works of the enemy, and I'm inviting you, come and follow me, and let's do this together. I'm inviting you, come and follow me. I'm ushering in a new kingdom. It's already come, guys. And it's still coming. This kingdom of righteousness, of peace, of joy in the Holy Spirit. He's ushering this in, and he's saying, come and follow me into this. Let's do this together. So he's calling us very simply to say yes to his call to follow him as Lord, yes to his call to follow him now, and yes to his call to follow him forward. This is a hero. This is a leader who knows how to lead. This is a leader who through the ages, men have stepped up and said, I want to follow this man. I want to follow this Jesus. And is it going to cost me everything? Yes. Is it sometimes painful? Yes. Is it sometimes not the popular thing to do? Yes. And Jesus is saying, come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you contagious. People are going to get caught up into the kingdom of God because you're following me. And I'm going to do this in your life. When I hear this come from Jesus as a leader, Jesus as a leader, I'm stirred. I'm compelled. I'm inspired. Like, if he's committed to doing this, and he's calling me to come do this with him, like we sang this morning, if he's for us, who can be against us? Let's do it. Let's do it. I just want to pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for a God who not only loves us, but leads us, who directs us, who speaks authoritatively into our lives. And not just as a command, but as a command that is going to bring blessing, a command that is going to be fruitful. We're going to see great things come from following you. Jesus, we want to follow you as our Lord today. I freshly want to say that. God, I want to follow you as my Lord. Not only the lover of my soul, but the leader of my soul and my mind and my will and my emotions. God, I want to follow you. Thank you for the call that comes from you, not just from a great desire in my heart, not in our hearts to say, I will follow you, but a call that starts with you saying, come and follow me. Thank you that what you call us to do, you will empower us to do. Jesus, thank you that we can come trusting you, knowing that when you call us to make great sacrifices, that we know seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, it's not really a dangerous thing in you because you've already promised to care for us. We want to follow you as our hero leader, trusting you with all that we have and all that we are. And we're going to follow you forward. God, thank you. There have been great days behind us. There have been struggles behind us. And you haven't called us to go back to either of those. The good days in the past and the bad days in the past. You call us to follow you forward. So Jesus, we lift our eyes, turn our heads forward to look and see where are you going. We're going to follow you. Thank you for that, God. You're not a God who shrinks back. And you form us into a people who don't shrink back either. But we follow you forward. You created us for such a time as this. You determined where we would be born, when we would be born. You've numbered the days of our lives. And you've said, in knowing that, follow me forward. So Jesus, we trust you. God, I just ask around this room this morning, stir in our hearts where you're calling us to follow you forward, where you're calling us to follow you first, and maybe even areas of our lives where we haven't been following you at all, and you're saying, come, follow me. Just listen for a minute, guys. Listen, let God speak to you. Let him provoke your heart. Let him stir in your heart. God, ask for that right now, just where we're following your lordship. Our priorities, putting you first. And where you're calling us forward, not back. I just feel that in the spirit, just a call. It's almost like a snapping of the head, like when God calls us to attention and it's eyes forward, facing front. I just see it like where when we lose revelation or we lose vision and heads start to wander to the left or to the right. I just feel the attention call from our leader. Eyes snap forward, facing forward, to follow our leader. Thank you, Jesus, for recapturing our attention this morning. So God, we commit this to you. God, the preaching of your word to you. You're the one who causes it to bear much fruit in our lives. You're the one who causes the seeds to grow. You're the one who causes fruit. Thank you for that. I ask for much fruit in our lives because of this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.